T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Love talking Buffalo Bills in the sports bar. Welcome back, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester, and one of our regulars. You can hear him on the Locked On Bills podcast. You can read his work at thedraftnetwork.com as we prepare for April. What it all means for the Buffalo Bills. Joe Marino, good with his time, and joining us now in the sports bar. Hey, Joe, how are you, bud?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, Joe, it's been way too long. We get this news, if we could just kind of react in real time, the news in the last hour here about star Latulele restructuring his deal. Joe, as you know, he's been a target of some Bills fans for the play, maybe not showing up in the stat sheet, but your thoughts on the Bills making this move now and what this could mean for free agency and for the position overall for the Bills?
Well, first things first is that Star Latulele is never going to justify a $10 million per year salary as a run stopper, right? He's just never going to have the production that's going to marry what you're looking for with a player that's commanded the highest cap figure every year for the last couple of years for the Bills. And so what this says to me is a lot of different things. First of all, that the Bills plan on having Star Latulele in the mix next year. I always thought that was going to be the plan because there was going to be so much dead cap involved if they were to move on. And this really what it does is it becomes a more team-friendly deal, and it says a lot about Star kind of being a team guy. It almost looks like he just took a straight-up pay cut for the possibility of the likelihood or the chance that he would be cut and then obviously get a much lesser salary with his next team. And so it kind of gives him that opportunity to maximize what's left in his contract with the Bills, and it's certainly kind of him because this creates more flexibility for the Buffalo Bills as they enter this offseason with, mid-80s in terms of cap space, $80-plus million. And, there's some decisions to make, particularly at defensive tackle, where Jordan Phillips is a free agent, Corey Leggett's a free agent, Harrison Phillips is coming back off of that ACL tear, his second time that's happened in recent history with him. So there's some question marks, but at least now you feel good about Starr as the one tech, and then, of course, really the position is about Ed Oliver, the top 10 pick from last year, and him coming into his own year, too.
Joe Marino, the Draft Network. We're going to talk some Bills draft here in a second with Joe. Before we get to that, and before we get to free agency, I see a move like this as a pay cut for Star, but I also see them as, all right, let's have a little bit more wiggle room, a little bit more flexibility, as we're discussing. What do you think the Bills, I'm curious, do you think the Bills operate, and I want to believe that they do, do you think they operate in a way where they put a specific value at each position in terms of what they're willing to pay at that position? And if they do, which I want to believe that they probably do, I think a lot of smart organizations do that, what do you think they do with Trey White this offseason? Do you think that this is the offseason that they go ahead and give Trey White a record-breaking deal or a deal that resets the corner market, or do you think they wait a little while longer?
Well, the first part of your question there, I do think that the Bills are very methodical in everything they do. I think that's something we can glean from observing both Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott since they've arrived in town. And so I'm sure they have thresholds and charts and all those types of things. And I'm sure there's some wiggle room, right, for the personal factor of, there's always a lot of context that goes into those types of things. I don't think they can be hard and fast, but they can be really good guidelines to go off of. Now, when you bring up Trey White, here's the challenging thing with that is, you kind of have this opportunity to have him on the team for a below market deal with a couple of year or a year left on his rookie deal, and then you have that fifth year option. But the opportunity to sign him long term will never be less expensive as it is today. And so, if you were able to get that done earlier, we see every year, every offseason, the next good young player at every position resets the market. And so, if you wait till next year, it's going to be a higher amount than it would be this year. And I think that Trey White, obviously what he did in his rookie season and, of course, this year earning at least one vote for the Defensive Player of the Year speaks to what he's meant to the football team, the caliber of player that he is, that he is worth a massive contract. And, it's one of those deals where he was the first draft pick under Sean McDermott. He's a guy that brought him in. He achieved high levels of success. That's exactly the type of player that you want to reward with the long-term extension and send that right message to your locker room now that the Bills are at a point now where there's other rookies as well from that 17 class and Matt Milano and Deion Dawkins that, you know, are right in that ballpark as well in terms of time to talk extension. So it's going to be interesting. I do think that there is value in getting it done now because it only goes up as you wait.
Joe Marino from the Draft Network. We'll talk some draft here in a little bit, but there's always Bills news here, even in the middle of February. And making his visit last week was Greg Olsen, and he was in Washington, a trip to Seattle. So the Bills, one of the teams in the mix. Joe, I know you watch Carolina football closely. How much do you think Greg Olsen has left in the tank, and would this be a good fit for the Buffalo Bills?
Well, I think Greg Olsen's a player that I think Bills fans should be rooting for that he signs with the football team. I think everyone should be excited about Dawson Knox and his upside. I mean, physically, in terms of physical talent, there's nothing different between what Dawson Knox has and what you guys saw in the Super Bowl with Travis Kelce and George Kittle. Now, Dawson Knox has a lot of growth needed, but from a physical perspective, he's got that type of stuff, all right? So he's absolutely the future of the position, and I think there's no better way for him to grow and get better than to have Greg Olsen in the receiving room with him. Greg Olsen, the first tight end in NFL history to stack 3 1,000-yard receiving seasons in a row. And you know, look, he's obviously not the player that he was when that was happening, but, you know, there's a lot to like about the consistency that he can bring to the position. I don't think you bring him in here and expect to target him 100 times this year. But if you can bring him in and get that reliable safety valve for Josh Allen, maybe do more 12 personnel where you have two tight ends on the field, you have Dawson Knox, you tap into his athletic profile and send him deep and have Greg Olsen busting zones underneath, you just have better spacing for your offense, and I think that would be great for Josh Allen as he enters a very important year three. So, no, I don't think Greg Olsen's the same dynamic player that he was 4 or 5 years ago, but I think he's a useful player. I think he's a type of veteran that Brandon Bean tends to gravitate towards. We saw him bring in Frank Gore last offseason. I don't think anyone expects Frank Gore to be back, but this could be that Frank Gore-like signing for this year where you really bring in a meaningful veteran that's going to give you great leadership, former Walter Payton Man of the Year. I live in Charlotte. I see firsthand what this man means to the community and how much good work he does. He's a perfect fit. I think he'll love the intangibles of Buffalo with the facilities and everything that's in place there. I think the Bills have a good chance now. If he just wants to go win a Super Bowl and he thinks the best way to do that is to go to the Seattle Seahawks, then the Bills are going to be out of luck. But if all those other contributing factors come into play, I can see Greg Olsen signing with the Bills by the end of the week.
Joe, you know, you've sold me. I was kind of against the idea of Greg Olsen here, but all those points are great points. They all make sense. There's one part about Dawson Knox's game that makes me a little bit nervous, and I don't know how Greg Olsen helps him become a better blocker. I would love to project Dawson Knox as the next Kittle or Kelce, but until I see him waste people on the defensive line, I have a hard time doing that.
Well, I think from an effort perspective with blocking, it's all there for Dawson Knox. I mean, if there's something that you want to get me concerned with regarding Dawson Knox, it's that he's dropped 20% of his targets.
Yes.
And, I mean, they were killers. They weren't even contested situations. Nobody around him, just dropping the football. And you got to think about his history coming up, right? He was a high school quarterback. He goes to Ole Miss to play tight end. I mean, he was an afterthought in that offense. I think he caught like 30 or 40 passes his entire career, never a touchdown pass. And if you go back and watch the tape like I have, you know, he's very elementary, just kind of leak out into space, manufactured touches when he got the chance. I mean, this is a player that had a lot of growth needed to play tight end, and he didn't really get that education, if you will, at Ole Miss. And so he goes to the NFL. And tight end, let's face it, not typically a position where year one rookies make much of an impact. Dawson Knox was the 8th tight end drafted last year. He had the 2nd most receiving yards among rookie tight ends in the NFL. So I think that he's on a very good pace, but he cannot continue to kill drives with poorly timed drop passes. That drop rate needs to come well under 10% for him to not be really a risk to put out there on the field.
Joe Marino from the Locked On Bills podcast, the Draft Network, our guest. And if we're going to kind of wade into the draft pool here, certainly everybody's going to be talking about Bills wide receivers, but there are wide receivers in free agency. And we know like the big names like Amari Cooper. We know maybe AJ Green might be available. Joe, might there be another option, whether that's trade or another free agent that maybe isn't as high on the radar radar. What are some other options? Because we know Brandon Bean is averse to the big ticket there for the most. Well, then again, I say that. I recall that he would try to trade for Antonio Brown, but I'm saying that maybe it's not. Maybe Amari Cooper isn't in the liking. So if you're going to go for that next tier, who might that be?
Well, here's the interesting part about this discussion. I have a pretty good feel for the pulse of Bills Mafia hosting a daily podcast on the Bills, and everybody comes at me wanting to talk about wide receivers and that pick number 22 and how it really needs to be about getting a weapon for Josh Allen in the passing game. Here's where I'll respond. I'm not against taking a wide receiver in the first round, all that type of stuff. But if it's that important of a need, if we feel like it's this important for Josh Allen to have this playmaking wide receiver to take this offense to the next level and score more points so that it doesn't stall out in the playoffs and have all those yards against Houston, but not enough points to show for it, then why is the thought process to wait until the back half of the first round to get this wide receiver? If I'm Buffalo, I'm really going to look and see who's available in terms of, there's going to be cuts that are going to happen here very soon. You have the potential for an A.J. Green. Maybe it's an Emmanuel Sanders. I think that you have to think outside of a first-round rookie as your answer to such a big problem on the football team. The Bills have the resources. So I'd like to see something different than, okay, we have to go receiver at pick number 22. I'm telling you, this draft is littered with great receiving talent. You're going to be able to find a prospect similar to the one you would take at 22 there in the middle of the second round where the Bills pick, I think, 53, 54, something like that. So I don't know that I'm at the point now where I'm marrying myself to a receiver at 22. I just want to get a good football player there that can help the team. And if this wide receiver need is so big, I think that the real focus should be on getting a consistent player, a known commodity, to pair with Josh Allen and not fill this role with a young, inexperienced player.
Joe, I agree with you 100%. In fact, I would be surprised if they go wide receiver at 22. I think Sean McDermott has kind of shown that if he finds a player that will help his defense, he has no problem selecting that guy, whether it be a corner opposite Trey White or an edge rusher or defensive tackle. But you're mentioning names that, to me, don't inspire a lot of confidence in terms of free agents that could be available, short of A.J. Green. But even A.J. Green, at this stage of his career, coming off a lost year, I don't know what's left. I mean, are there, Gene mentioned it. This is the same GM that attempted to trade for Antonio freaking Brown last offseason. Is there a bigger name out there that we're not thinking about that could potentially land in Buffalo?
So that's where this gets challenging. I don't have a sexy name to give you. I don't think Amari Cooper, for his price tag and kind of him being what I would think somewhat of a repeat skill set and what the Bills have in John Brown, I don't know if that's where I would invest a bunch of money. And so the next name is, like Emmanuel Sanders, A.J. Brown. I mean, Kendrick Bourne from the 49ers. DeMarcus Robinson is a player that you can consider. But, that's the challenging part. I think that there's going to be other names that are going to become available here in the coming weeks that'll inevitably get released. But I just think the point there being that I think there's going to be some outside-the-box things that are going to happen. If Brandon Bean was pretty candid when he talked in his after-season press conference about how the offense has to score more points. And I think that he'll be very deliberate about giving his roster the best chance to do that, and that's going to come by investing in more playmakers. And identifying those targets right now are difficult for me, but I like what Brandon Bean has showed us in terms of being able to fix issues, right? Think about where this offense came from, 18 to 19, where everything was different except for Deion Dawkins and Josh Allen. And so I believe in the creativity component that he has as a general manager to take an all-of-the-above approach, and even if it's blitzing the position, like they did with the offensive linemen. How many did they sign last offseason, like 7 or 8 veterans? Draft Cody Ford in the second round. I think you can see a similar type infusion of talent at wide receiver to get that right, and it could be an all-of-the-above type approach.
So, Joe, I like you're pointing out that, hey, at 22, there might not be that big a drop-off. It might be equal if you wait till the second round. So if the Bills elect not to go wide receiver at 22... Well, I mean, we know the Bills' needs. When you're looking at mocks, when you're talking to people, who are some of the targets, not wide receiver, that the Bills could be in the market for at 22?
Well, I hate to go to the defensive side of the football because I think Bills Mafia is going to throw tomatoes at me for wanting to add to the number 3 defense and not the number 25 offense. But when I think about kind of the things I've already outlined, I do kind of go back to the defense where I have concerns about the pass rush and the outside edge pass rush where Jerry Hughes is over 30, had a down year. I know the risk came into play. He was good in the playoffs, but you know he's a declining asset. Trent Murphy has not been a high-impact player on the other side. Shaq Lawson's a free agent. None of those guys are dynamic edge rushers. Do you have a chance to get a Caleb on chase on from LSU who has all the burst and bend you would ever want in a speedy pass rusher? Maybe an A.J. Epinesa from Iowa who's a physical kind of pass rusher that can really compress the pocket and his power moves are really dynamic. Is that the type of player that can make an impact? That cornerback, Jeff Gladney from TCU, is going to get a guy opposite of Trey White. That's not a liability. We saw that happen at times with Levi Wallace where, you know, he's good in zone, but when he has to really go man-to-man with guys that have athleticism, he struggles. Well, how about Jeff Gladney, who I think has wonderful footwork, really fluid hips. He's physical. He comes downhill and will tackle. You know, I'm not adverse to a cornerback in that spot, especially when you're going to give all this money to Trey White. You're going to want to have a good, meaningful player on a rookie deal. I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, maybe it's even a situation where the Bills could get one of these hybrid, versatile, you know, Lorenzo Alexander types, like a Zach Bond from Wisconsin, who I think I compare to Lorenzo Alexander in that they truly do play that Sam linebacker role, but also can rush the passer from the outside as well on passing down. So I think there's options. I'm not against the wide receiver. I can talk to you about really good wide receiver prospects, and I'd be happy that the Bills picked at 22. I just feel like as we have this conversation on February 11th, that we need to be open-minded on all the different ways that some of these holes can be filled.
Great stuff, Joe. Joe Marino, you can read his work at the Draft Network. You can hear him on the Locked On Bills podcast daily. Joe, I want to make sure you have plenty of time to let our audience know what you're working on there over at the Draft Network.
Well, we're scouting players, writing scouting reports. We have tons of written content every single day, team-specific stuff. And we've just launched our premium subscription where you guys can do the mock draft simulator. If you can be the general manager for the Buffalo Bills, you can make trades, all that type of good stuff. We have an expert forum where you can interact with myself and the rest of our crew on a daily basis, talking football all day long. So all kinds of good stuff happening at thedraftnetwork.com.
Joe, how are mom and baby? Congratulations, buddy. Everything good?
We're doing great. Just welcomed the baby girl on January 18th, and she's rocked our world, and we've loved it. It's been an absolute thrill. Thanks for asking.
Joe, appreciate the time as always. Get some rest, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Okay, looking forward to it, guys.
You got it, Joe Marino. You can read his work at thedraftnetwork.com. Hear him on the Locked On Bills podcast. Really good stuff.
I say, let's explore that idea, the Buffalo Bills going first round. Defense again.
Yes. I'm going to be surprised if they go wide receiver. I think Joe's points, Joe's takes on Brandon Bean and on how this Bills organization is operating, I think he's right on. I think he's absolutely right on. If the offense is that big of an issue, the problem is wide receiver. Yeah, those names aren't really sexy, right? Are you going to be excited about Emmanuel Sanders?
Well, I don't think he's a fit. Isn't he the same as Beasley? I mean, isn't that the same type of receiver? Do you need two slot guys?
I see these guys as just guys. I mean,
Breshad Perriman is another guy that is bounced around that was in Tampa, put up some numbers. I mean, A.J. Green would be the target, right? That will get Bills fans excited.
I don't know, but I wouldn't make me excited. At this stage of his career, for what you're going to have to pay to give him, do the simulator, Gene. Do the Barnwell simulator. Let's see where
they don't even have him going
to Buffalo. They have him going to either the Niners, the Colts, or the Raiders. So it has to be one of those three teams.
What about
But think about it. No, okay. Let's just say that this is what Green is going to go for this year. Let's say it's 4 years, $84 million, or let's say it's 4 years, $80 million, or you know, somewhere around there. 4 years, $20 million a year for your wide receiver. Can you live with it? I can't live with that. I don't think Brandon Bean can.
I am going to throw out something here, and I'm just saying you consider this. Do you remember the the movie with Harrison Ford where you know the repentant man must kneel and then he passes? Who's the repentant man in the NFL right now? Would you even consider that?
What, Antonio Brown? Well, funny you bring him up, Gene.
They've had the conversation inside those walls in Buffalo.
We will share with you the latest on Antonio Brown. Yes, we have some Antonio Brown news to share with you next in NFL Appetizers. It's brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com.
Yeah, so we have a lot of stories to get to here. We have Vikings news for you today, Cowboys news, yes, and Antonio Brown. Tua Tagovailoa is in the news as well, and a former Buffalo Bill, you would think he'd be hanging it up. Not so for Kiko.
Okay, we'll get to that and more next. News and notes from around the NFL with NFL Appetizers in the Sports Bar. Gentlemen, it's been a busy winter. Now it's almost Valentine's Day. It's on Friday. Your chance, your big moment. Bring the romance to the table with a gift card to the spa at the Del Monte. She's not always going to tell you what she wants, but you know that a gift card to the spa at the Del Monte will show her you've been paying attention. Make the right move and purchase gift cards in store or instantly online at DelMonteSpa.com.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader. ESPN Rochester.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.